Among those five things, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, value your youth before old age. Value your youth before you become old. And we have this thought that we're still young. The person you come now 13, 14, 15, 19, I'm still young, still young. By the time he knows it, he's already in the 20s, then 30s, then the 40s. Then he realizes, oh ho, if only I use my youth, if only I spend my youth, the time of my youth properly. So in this, whilst we've got this age of ours, and we're enjoying our youth, then we need to make use of that youth. Yes, we got many, many challenges. I always have addressed the youth in Maritzburg, in one of the Islamic Muslim schools. Then I tell him, in our days when we were young, we didn't have the attraction and distractions of today. Today we got the smartphone, today we got the BlackBerry, today we got the internet, we got 3G, we got Wi-Fi, we got the billboards, we got the magazines, and then we got the DSTV. DSTV, what D is for? Dajjal. Dajjal S satellite television. So we've got all these challenges that are facing us. So all directions, like a tsunami coming from all directions. And one of the quickest ways of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to sit in a company of some sheikh, some buzruq, or to go out in some environment. When Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, who was revived with the work of Dawud and Tabligh, he caused and made a great revolution in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he changed the environment of the people. That in the environment of home, the environment of the office, the environment of the work, of school, one environment, a person is all used to it. But when a person comes out, the environment of deen, and environment of the masajid, environment of a pious person. And this is one of the quickest ways of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, if I have to ask the youngsters, what is the fastest thing over here? You might tell me one Bugatti, you might tell me one Lambo, or a Ferrari. So one occasion, there were three professors, very intellectual professors, with high degrees, they were discussing which is the fastest thing. So the first person said, the fastest thing according to me is your thought. You just think of something, your thought already appears. So very, very, very good, valid. The second person said, no, according to me, I think it's the blinking of the eye. All of us just blink the eye, you don't even realize. The blink of the eye is so quick. So all of them agreed, valid. Third person said, according to me, it is electricity. You just switch on the light and you got lights. So they're also valid. Now in a predicament now, who can solve this solution now? This problem, the fastest thing. But there was one Indian guy sitting nearby. He overheard this whole conversation. So he came over there, he said, excuse me, can I make a contribution? I said, no problem. He said, according to me, the fastest thing is diarrhea. What? Running stomach. What nonsense you're talking. Running stomach. We are talking something about electricity, blinking of the eye, the thought, something which is logical. And you come telling me all this nonsense. He said, no, you understand what I'm saying. He said, the other day I had diarrhea. I was in my bed. Before I could think, before I could wink, before I even put the lights on, my diarrhea came out. So the fastest thing according to him was the idea. One person, he bought a new BMW, M3, top of the range. But unfortunately, he didn't understand what's the nitty-gritty things of how things operated. So nevertheless, Monday morning, he spent the whole weekend with that car. Monday morning, he rocks up with the car into the BMW, the franchise, and the whole back is smashed up. And then he's complaining to the people, I don't understand this car. He said, what happened? He said that this car only works during the day. Only works during the day. And night time it doesn't work. And then they ask, okay, before we ask you what happened to the, how this cow got smashed, explain to me us, how does it work during the day and does it work during the night? So he said, every time during the day I put it in D mode. What? D. We know D is for drive. So during the day he's driving very well. When he comes night after Maghrib Namaz, I put him into N. But he's not moving. I'm putting more power, but he's not moving. I said, okay. So they started laughing. He said, okay, we'll explain to you that. But I said, but tell us how the car got smashed in the back. He said, one day I was driving this BM and I came with a robo, but a traffic light. And you know the youngsters of today? Okay, so one guy comes up with a 16 valve GTI. He puts his window down and he said, hey uncle, you're in a dice. You're in a race. So this father said, I'll show him. And I put the gear, I put that thing into R, into racing mode. And then you know what happened after that. So nevertheless, this is when you put everything upside down. So as youth, we got many, many challenges. Out there, many things have been told from the front, from the mimbar, the ulama are telling us, our ustads are telling us. And to understand, for example, the youth of the people of the cave. Alhamdulillah, the CDs, MP3s available. Idwan Kati is here, my friend. And he's given a detailed explanation of Suratul Kaf. And in there, with regards to the links of Dajjal. And the many lessons a person will learn from Suratul Kaf. Every Friday we are encouraged to recite Suratul Kaf. One of the benefits is a person, inshallah, will be saved from the fitnas and the trials of Dajjal. We'll request all the youngsters, inshallah, to come close, inshallah. So, in the Suratul Kaf, the thing that we learn also from Maulana Ridwan Sahab Daud Barakatuh is that just like in those youngsters went to the cave and they were protected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. So to say the caves of today, we don't ask you now to go in a cave and lock yourself up. The caves of today, so to say, there is a person who will be saved from all fitnas, all sins, all gunas, the temptation of this world. For example, a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spends 3 days, he spends 10 days, he spends 40 days. Or he goes and sits, for example, in this environment, the Islahi Masjid that is taking place. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example of sitting in a majlis of a pious person or a pious company. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it is like a hamil in misk, that one who sells perfume, musk perfume. So either 3 things will happen. Imma ayyu haziyaka minhu, either that person will give you as a hadiah, or the person will put the ether for you. Those who have been to Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwarah, normally when you go to the ether shop and you smell, you ask the person what is a good ether, immediately he takes out one ether, he puts on your hand, and then you rub it on the body and you feel nice. So imma ayyu haziyaka minhu, so you'll get the free ether. Or if we don't give you the free ether, then perhaps you are convinced that this ether, I love it. Then you will take out that money and you will buy it. So that is the second thing. You will buy that ether. The third one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحَةً طَيِّبَةً أو كما قال Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the first one, he doesn't give it to you, or you don't buy it from him, then at least the fragrance will be affected by it. Many a time we know the bahu, the incense sticks that are burnt. What a beautiful smell. A person walks in that alley, or in that, now, in that center, in Hilton for example, and Surati, now they are burning. All that perfume comes on your body. And then when you go to your room, they'll ask, hey, what's that perfume? What's that nice perfume you put on? You say, I never put any perfume on. It's just that the bahu, that smoke got me. And that perfume got me. So yeah, understand this also. By sitting in a company of some great person, some Allah wala, some pious person who a person takes a liking to. So now 3 things can happen. Either a person will come, he will take the fragrance with him. He will benefit. Something the Maulana or that Alim or the Sheikh might say something. will affect the heart of that person. So he receives some portion, like that itar. And then if he takes a greater liking, then he might even take bear towards to that sheikh. Sit more in his company, frequent the company. Like how that person bought that itar. Normally when a person puts itar on his clothes, then he walks some distance, and then after Asr namaz, you'll see whether that smell is still there. After Maghrib namaz, the smell is still there. Then after Isha, he'll say, I want that itar. The same itar that you put for me, I want that itar. So you go carrying on going back to that majlis. Eventually you'll take benefit from the sheikh. And even if you don't go sit in the majlis, even if you don't go and take bayat, but just merely passing the majlis, for example, in this majlis, a person, a youngster comes over here, and he just comes for some work, and then he goes. Even he is not deprived of it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, لا يشقى هم القوم لا يشقى بهم جليسهم. There are such people that a person just merely coming over here, they also will be rendered unfortunate and wretched. So this by sitting in the company, just like how that itar, that smoke, now affects that person when he takes that beautiful smell of a team, they are also affected. On the other hand, a bad company. Bad company, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned like a blacksmith. That smoke or the fire of that blacksmith, either it can burn your clothes, or وَإِمَّا تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا مُنْتَنِيْتًا, that a person gets a bad smell. Bad smell meaning the smell is not very, very good. So people run away from you. People don't want to sit in your company. So as youth, we've got these opportunities where we don't have to go in the cave now and now seclude ourselves. We have to go in the environments, an environment of deen, where example majalis are taking place, environment of the ulama, environment in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ijtimaas that are taking place, environments of ta'aleem. The month of Ramadan is coming, so we need to prepare ourselves. The month of Ramadan is just at our doorstep. We are now in the month of Shaban. Shaban is the month where we take our spiritual bath. The 15th of Shaban, so many people, gunas were forgiven. So many people changed their lives. So now we can't now procrastinate and say that when I get big, then I will change my life. No one has guarantee. How many today's zamana is the elderly are burying the young. May Allah give us all of us a long life and keep us with afiyat, keep us with sihat, and keep us on deen, which is very, very important. So in this time, with all the fitnas that are engulfing us, and the person walks out, he has to lower his gaze. Many times we tell a youngster also, yeah, we also have to spell it very clearly. That may Allah Ta'ala mentions, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَفْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. That lower your gaze. Then what do the youngsters do? They take the wrong meaning of this. They go to the second floor of the shopping center and they look down, hey, which chick is going past here? Which girl is going past? And they say, Molana, we're lowering our gaze. No. That is not lowering your gaze. You're looking there, you're getting gunas. So now, lowering your gaze is when the temptation comes, when the young girl comes, a beautiful girl comes. Now immediately you lower your gaze, you don't look at that girl. Then the person will enjoy the sweetness of Iman. Or what? How shaitan tricks us? For example, if a girl is not very attractive, in our terms, maybe she's a bat or something. Now she's walking, now we lower our gaze. Now we think, hey, we some Hazrat now. We Junaid Baghdadis of the time. Or there may be a girl that is coming past, we lower our gaze, but the corner of our eyes, we're looking at her. Check her figure out, what nice dress she's wearing. Maybe we want to get a glimpse of the color of her eyes. So now over here, we're bluffing ourselves. So at that time now, the test comes about. At that time now, a person should now lower his gaze. At that time, a person now should now defeat nafs and shaitan. Because these are our two enemies. We all know America, Britain, all the kuffar, all that are ganging together and causing harm to the Muslims. They are our enemies. But we don't realize the two enemies that we have with us all the time. That is nafs and shaitan. They spur us all the time to incite us in gunas. A person is alone at home. The shutters are closed. Everyone is asleep. You got the internet over there. What's stopping us? Now we want to go from this side, he starts kicking away from this side to that side, and we don't realize, and we're getting involved in so much of gunas. So understand, at that moment, just like in the month of Ramadan, we are fasting, we're staying away from food and drink. We're staying away from food and drink which is halal. We're staying away from other things which are halal for us. So in the outside the month of Ramadan, throughout the year, it becomes easy for us to stay away from all types of other gunas as well. So this is that now the month of Ramadan is coming, where now we prepare ourselves. This is the month of taqwa. So stay away from gunas. This is taqwa. Like we have to do our faraiz, we have to read our wajibat, our sunnat muakkada, and then before our nawafil, the next step we have, before our nawafil, our extra optional ibadat, is to stay away from gunas. And the easy method to stay away from gunas, just adopt the company of some pious person. A person who you take a liking to, you sit in his company, and he mentions certain things that affects your heart, and you now throng to that gathering, and they take benefit. So just in our times, sit in the company, go to the khankas, sit in the company of the mashayikh, of the ulama, etc. And you will see, inshallah, what change will come into that person. So this youth is very, very delicate. At this very moment, we are passing a phase. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year that is passing, we are coming closer and closer to our qabr. And we can't have this notion and this that shaitan bluffs us, our nafs now deceives us, we're still young. No respected youngsters, no respected youth. That every day we are coming closer and closer to the grave. That is why when a child is born, then what two things we do? We give azan in the right ear, and one iqamat in the left ear. Why? To tell us that, oh insan, you are coming to this world, so you now prepare for your janazah. Because in janazah salah there is no azan and no iqamat. So now there is a message behind this azan and iqamat. So we need to prepare ourselves. Just like in examination room, in school, the person goes to school. And alhamdulillah, many, many youth, alhamdulillah, they'll go to school, they'll learn, etc. But we need to now focus ourselves, make intention from now, that inshallah, we want to come into the environment of deen. We will go and further enhance our studies, inshallah, become hufaz kiram, and we will become ulama of deen, inshallah, the flag bearers of Islam. There are many, many people, alhamdulillah, they had top degrees or pass rates, many, many A's, etc. Many, many ulama, and today, alhamdulillah, they never went in that field or in the environment of university, etc. And Allah safeguarded them, and they went and became ulama, and they are benefiting the masses throughout the world. So we don't realize respective wealth. As I mentioned also, we always tell the youth that I got 8 A's. 8 A's, but I still, alhamdulillah, became alim. So the youngsters asked, Marana, you study very hard, very sharp, 8 A's. So I told, the A's were absent. I never went to matric. So that's why I got 8 A's. So in this environment, we become respected youngsters, where our hearts are focused, our minds are focused, and over there, we prepare for for our qabr, for our everlasting life of the year after. So now, with regards to us, these temptations, distractions, attractions that are coming in all directions, the tsunamis that is coming upon us. As I mentioned, in the days gone by, we never ever faced all this. And today, with regards to sport, so many youngsters involved in sport and cricket and soccer, they know the fine details of everything. Who is this player? Who is on the bench? How much is cost? Which team is going? One occasion, there was a certain priest. Another priest in the church, they conduct marriages. And then after the marriage, before the marriage is over, what does the priest say? I pronounce you husband and wife. Husband and wife. One day, we're living in such a zamana. One day two males came to him. So one is Jack and one is Tom. So Jack says, I will get married to Tom. So now, under the law of the government, he had to now solemnize that whole marriage. Now he's in a predicament. After he reads all the rites, now he's in a predicament. So normally I tell the people, husband and wife, now what should I say over here? Then he thought about it. And then I think, maybe a Liverpool supporter, he said, I pronounce both of you Man United. So nevertheless, respected youngsters, we got these challenges that are facing us. Inshallah, we ask all the youngsters again to come closer, inshallah. Let us come closer, make space, inshallah. Come closer, inshallah. Talking about exams, one youngster sent me a nice clip yesterday, another clip, a message. Maybe we'll share it with the brothers, inshallah. This person got a F in his exam, but he got an A for creativity. Creativity, yeah. He's got an A for creativity, but he got an F overall for the whole exam. So now listen to this question, sir. Obviously, the question that he answered, well, technically it was right, but it was wrong. So the first question he asked, in which battle did Napoleon die? So obviously, the person wrote his last battle. No one knows the date. So he got that wrong. The second question he was asked, where was the Declaration of the Independence signed? Now you're thinking, where was it signed? So he said, in the bottom of the page, obviously. The third question, the river Ravi flows in which state? So again he wrote, liquid state. The fourth one, what is the main reason for divorce? So he wrote marriage. What is the main reason for exams? He said failure. What can you never eat for breakfast? So again he wrote lunch and dinner. Then he asked, what looks like half an apple? He said, Dada, half. Then he asked, if you threw a red stone into a blue sea, what would it become? He said, the stone become wet. How can a man go 8 hours without sleeping? How can a man go 8 days without sleeping? He said, so easy, sleep at night. Then the next question he asked him, if you had 3 apples and 4 oranges in one hand, and 3 oranges and 4 apples in the other hand, what would you have? So he wrote, very large hands. And then the last one he asked, how can you drop a raw egg onto a concrete floor without cracking it? So he said, any way you want, because a concrete floor is very, very hard, and it's very hard to crack with an egg. So these are the questions. Now imagine now. So the teacher gave him an A for creativity, but he gave him an F overall. So nevertheless, respect the youngsters, we all say in this examination room of this dunya, we all say in this world, and then the questions are already given to us in the ulama will explain in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the question we ask of you in the qabr, mar rabbuk, ma deenuk, ma taqulu fi hadhihi rajul, what is your deen? We all know al-Islam. And mar rabbuk, who is your Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the image will be shown to you. And this we ask, who is this? And you say, this is our Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now we are in this world. We have, what will speak over there is the reality now in our hearts. Yeah, we already know the questions and the answers on our tongue. But if a person makes the correct preparation for towards that, then we will find the answer become very, very easy for him to answer. So in this world, respect to God, once we got the time, make use of that youth of ours, that energy of ours. We will find the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were the people, great, great Sahaba, who was the one, responsible for bringing down Abu Jahl, were two Ansari youngsters. Salman bin Aqwa radiallahu anhu, such a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, could fast, run faster than the fastest horse. Today, unfortunately, we become so involved with technology, the things around us, and we say, wah, 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 wah. What, for example, the cell phone, every day everyone is upgrading all the time. The cell phone, what technology, what peak has reached, and the smartphone, the, so many things become a tool of all fitness as well, unfortunately. And today we get fascinated, the person one side of the world, and this side of the world, he's got a phone, and that person is having a conversation with him. In the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam that make, after building Kaaba, make announcement for the people to come for Hajj. Now he's in Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has to make announcement for Hajj. That time there was no telecom, there was no Vodacom, MTN, there was no all these things, no gadgets, no technology, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at the qudr of Allah. You do what is in your capacity, I will do the rest. So now he went up Mount Qubais, and then he made Elan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his voice reach in Alam Arwah. But every soul heard this voice. And whoever responded and said Labbaik once will perform Hajj once. Likewise, whoever said Labbaik twice or thrice or how many times, that's the amount they will perform Hajj. So in that time, Umar radiallahu anhu, today we get fascinated with technology, with of satellite, etc. As Umar radiallahu anhu is seated in Madinatul Munawwara, and while giving the bayan or giving the khutbah, he tells all of a sudden, Ya Sariya al Jabal, that O Sariya radiallahu anhu, be careful, the mountain. Thereafter, the expedition returns, and then Hazrat Sariya radiallahu anhu comes. He's one corner of the world, maybe in Iraq, Nawahin. And he tells Umar radiallahu anhu, I heard something fascinating. That you were seated in Madinatul Munawwara, but I heard your voice in Iraq. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for me the situation that you are undergoing. Behind the mountain, people are waiting ambush to attack you. And when I saw this, I said, Ya Sariya, be careful. There are people behind the mountain waiting ambush to cause you harm. Hazrat Sariya radiallahu anhu said, I heard your voice. We know technology today, satellite, a person is playing one match, maybe in one corner of the world, a person in another corner of the world, you're able to see it. We know the Miraj, many a person attended the bayans in on 27th night of Rajab, where bayans were given with regards to the Miraj, the miraculous journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After coming back from Miraj, when he came into the kuffar, that whatever had transpired, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken from the Hatim, he was taken from Masjid al-Haram, Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa towards the seven heavens and beyond, and then he returned all in one night. So then they started testing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Masjid al-Aqsa explained to us how many doors, how many windows, how many of this, how many of that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only went once to Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assistance came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an image before Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever question they were asking, accordingly he responded. Today we get fascinated with speed. The fastest car, I tell the youngsters that my car, one occasion I beat four fast cars. I beat a Porsche, I beat a Lamborghini, a Bugatti, and one of the fastest SLK cars too. So you think, Malay, you're talking nonsense, impossible. Your car, never you beat them. I say, I promise you I beat them. He said, how? So I explained to them, that these four carriers, these four cars are on a truck. We've been transported by this truck. So I overtook the truck. So in reality, I did beat them. So nevertheless, we are fascinated with speed. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in the Buraq. What was the speed of the Buraq? The furthest sight, the furthest thing where the Buraq could see, that was one jump of the Buraq. So how fast he reached Masjid al-Aqsa. Today we get fascinated with regards to in the medical field, that people make incisions in your body, and what, because of technology, now operations are made very, very easy. But at the same time, you need operating table, you need a surgeon, you need all types of medication, anesthetic, etc. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, has mentioned, on not one occasion, but four occasions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was opened, and his heart was removed and washed with zamzam. Without any doctor, without any anesthetic, etc. So this, if you read in the waqiyas, you will come mind-boggling. Today we get fascinated with the aeroplane, and you have to stand in queues, and then we got weight restriction, etc. And in few hours, we board the flight, and in few hours time, we in the next destination. Hadhrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ibn Kasir rahmatullahi alayhi, explains, what was the takht, the platform of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, his entire entourage, army, the believers, all the jinnat, 600,000 of them on one platform of his. And he and all the believers in the front, the jinnat behind him, together with all the equipment on the takht of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And what was the journey of Sulaiman alayhi salam? How much of distance did he cover? The Quran mentions that in one day, he should cover 2 months journey. 2 months journey. From the morning to the afternoon, 1 month journey. From the afternoon to the evening, another month's journey. So in one day, 2 months journey was covered by Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the miracle of the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So nevertheless, respected youngsters, we need to look at all these things. And also we have to understand our Muslim scholars, what they have contributed in every field. Whether it is in a science of this dunya, the sciences of this dunya, when it came to mathematics, algebra, when it came to medication, when it came to laws of physics, it was the Muslims that were in the forefront. A person needs to make research. All these people that came on board, whether it is Einstein, whether it was Newton, they suffered from plagiarism. They used to take from our Muslim scholars and present it to the world as if though it is their contribution. But we don't realize the person makes research and see how they excel. So respected youngsters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability of appreciating these environments of deen, these majalis that are taking place, that the mashayikh that are coming into our country. The month of Ramadan is coming, and now we need to spend our time with the holidays as well. Allah's wazal, Allah's rahmat, that we are going through the winter months, plus minus, this over 12 hours will be fasting. Whereas in countries, example, Denmark, and other European countries, they will be fasting approximately 19 hours. So how long will be the fast? So how fortunate we are that Allah has made it easy for us. And also together with that, it will be during the holidays as well. So during the last 10 days, respected youngsters, we need to go, maybe in Shafs al-Amrillah, different masajid, go from now, tell the Imam sahab that I want to sit in itikaf in the masjid. Or there is certain pious person you got affinity with, a certain buzruk that you like his talks, and you get encouraged by his talks, then make arrangements from now that you're going to spend the last 10 days, inshallah, in itikaf. Inshallah, in Azabul also, Hazrat Muhammad Hamid Sahib Dan Barakatuh has a full program throughout the whole month of Ramadan. The last 10 days also, youngsters can go in the group, would be very, very beneficial as well. So we should take this opportunity that the ulama that are coming to our country is a great blessing. As we are speaking, so many mashayikh in our country. For example, Mala Mazhar Sahib Dan Barakatuh, Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri Sahib Dan Barakatuh, Mufti Kamaluddin Dawud Barakatuh, and Muhammad Hafiz Makki Sahib Dawud Barakatuh. So, giants in the field of tasawuf are visiting our country at once. This is a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to come forward. Just like respected youngsters, a person now wants to board a flight. He comes to the airport, but for outside the airport, he finds that the airport doors are closed. Those glass doors are close. Now he thinks, oh, what's going to happen? Now I'm unable to enter the airport. I'm unable to check in. I'm unable to board the flight. No. If that person just has to take his luggage, come into the direction of in front of those glass doors,
what will happen? Automatically those doors will open. So we need to take that step forward. We need to show direction from our side, intention from our side, that we want to change our lives. We want to come on deen. Deen is easy, ad-deen yusrun. Deen is not only easy, but is enjoyable. Wallah respected, there is entertainment in Islam as well, within the confines of the Sharia. There are so many things a person can do. Swimming is sunnat, archery is sunnat, horse riding is sunnat. All these things a person can enjoy. But we just need to sit in the company of the right person. And that person will explain to us that how to get our direction life in deen. How to get our direction right in deen. And for this respected youngsters, Namlad, talks will be taking place now. Diwan Qaji Sahib, Dawud Barakatullah, will be addressing us. So let us pay attention to whatever he says. As I mentioned again, I'll repeat, try and get that MP3 CD of Mawlana regarding Dajjal, of Surah Al-Kahf, the finer points, many, many things the youngsters were able to learn. And how he brings it in our times, the fitnas that are engulfing us from all directions. It's very, very important that we're reading Surah Al-Kahf, but do we know the inner secrets of Surah Al-Kahf? Every Friday we're encouraged to read Surah Al-Kahf. But as I mentioned, the barakat of Surah Al-Kahf, inshallah, a person will be saved from Dajjal. But together with that, Dajjal is coming. But there are many agents of Dajjal at the moment that are in our presence, in the form of entertainment, in the form of satellite, in the form of all these phones, of technology, etc. All these things are great ni'mats. For example, the phone is a ni'mat, it is an invention. But if you use it the proper manner, well and good. But if you abuse it, then a person will be taken to task for it. How many a youngster using their fingers for all wrong things? That very fingers, if only we could use it for counting the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 33 times after every salah, subhanallah. 33 times alhamdulillah. 34 times Allahu Akbar. This will testify for us. You will get testimony for us that, oh Allah, this fingers made the zikr. This fingers made durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if this fingers now is on a certain chat, on a WhatsApp, on BBM, or on Instagram, on Twitter, and all the funny things on the internet, then these fingers will give testimony against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So respected youth, alhamdulillah, time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever has been mentioned, first and foremost, make it a means of hidayat for first and foremost for me, and for all of us, and for each and every ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the day of qiyamah, wa akhir da'wah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونسلم على رسوله الكريم The purpose of this program is that someone is invited so many of these words that you hear the Arabic language is the law that any word which got like a kha a qaf these are hard words and normally we all know it As example, if you hear the word khankah, khankah sounds scary. Just because the way the kha comes out. Because of which lot people, if you hear someone comes from Kanpur, that poor doesn't sound right. Because you don't use these words. So you already say this guy is heavy. So what happens is names sometimes scare us. But it's not always. Example, there's one woman I heard about, it's called Lady Gaga. That is such a name that I thought that if ever a boy had to see her and say, what's your name? Say, Gaga. No one will ever think of her at night. But how come? Because the time comes with the name, now you say that. It's not the name, it's the person behind the name. Now when you were shown a person behind the name to be unique, you fell in love. Similarly in this game here, because a lot of it was learned from the ulama of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, And it could have been from the Arab countries, it could have been from the Russian countries. There was a time when Islam was in the Russian areas. At that time there was lands called Kakhistan and Kurds and Kurdistan. Those names are also scary names. But people never bothered because it was who was behind the name. A time came where you heard of Bukhari, it also had a Kha. You heard of Sajistani, Imam Abu Dawud. It had funny letters in it. It wasn't yours. But because they knew the man behind the name was unique, no one bothered of the name. So in this game here, instead of using the name Sheikh, and instead of using the name Khanka, And instead of using the name Ihanka Topi, and these are scary things for a young boy. One boy said, you know, me, I won't mind taking death, but this Ihanka Topi, I'll never wear this one. No girl will ever marry me. So what it is that the mind now becomes scared with some things which are not the maqsood. So if you change the name and you say, what is this whole field? This whole field is searching for a friend. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-rajul ala deeni khalili. A man will take the religion of a friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. So go and search for a friend. Now you might say, I got lot of friends. But here we were not speaking of a friend who knows nothing. Here we were speaking of a friend who knows. One of the problems we have in the world today is everyone thinks he knows, because there's so much of knowledge. And that is where you need a friend to tell you, you know lot, but in what you know, there will always be some poison which needs to be extracted. If you don't take out that poison, whatever you know takes you in the wrong direction. One boy was sitting in an aeroplane, so you had an atheist next to him. An atheist, his day and his night is to make people irritated. That is why in this world on Haq, when you are on, if you have a WhatsApp, your whole day and night people will send you messages. Because everyone in the world is not happy what you say. If you are going to bother of what people say, you'll never live. If you have to worry, what happens if I lift my trouser above my ankle? Will the girl say smart or will the girl laugh? What happens if I look down? Will she fall in love with me or will she become upset with me? Sometimes if you look down, recently this one great, what you call, Da'i of France came. And he had a lot of programs in the Ijtimai stand also, he spoke, but it was in the Arabic language, maybe youngsters won't know him. But the story of France was famous, that at that time there was one very great person who was a doctor, or he had graduated in the university with distinctions in every field. So Mawlana Yusuf Rahimullah told him that, because the university offered, we will send you wherever you want to go to do your degree. So he told him, you must go to the land of France. So he said, if I go to France, there's no deen there. How will I look after myself? He said, no, you go there. You go for deen and you study also, but you spread deen. So he was a da'i, so he told him, you'll make your ta'alim in the room. He said, but don't ever let your gaze come up. Don't ever look up. So it happened in that university, there was one girl who had just become Mrs. Universe. So Mrs. Universe, the name itself will make you think already how she must be. And she happened to be in the university. That Mrs. Universe had every boy looking at her. Every boy desiring her. So when this doctor, he looked down, that night Mrs. University never slept. Then what was wrong on my behind? Was something wrong? He never looked. He must have put off. Next day she came to you, said, what's wrong with me? He was shocked. Like, who you are? She said, tell me what's wrong with me. So he's not understanding. She said, you never look at me yesterday. So he looked down. Now you know how shy you feel. How do you tell a woman that, you know what, you're smart, but I can't look? So in a nice manner, he tried to explain. So she said, all the other Muslims on campus, not one of them have ever looked down when I walked. So he explained, there are different people. Whatever happened, that had such an impact on her. So she came back to him and she said, teach me this faith of yours. If Mrs. University is accepting Islam, you will be thrilled. Because you will know that, you know, I'm making her a Muslim. So I cash in after that. I mean, she has to find a husband. So Mrs. University, he told her that I will teach you deen, but we will go in the library where there are those. Each person got his own stand where he studies. You on that side, I'm on this side. You ask your questions. She studied. And she became a Muslimah. When a girl becomes a Muslimah in those lands, your whole world will forsake you. So who do you go to now? So he wrote to Mawlana Yusuf Rahimullah, asking for permission to marry Mrs. Universe. Normally you will never ask that question. So you will normally send the message, and I married her. And the answer came, no. The answer came, you can't marry her. You never went for that. It happened that his other friend, who he met and he gave dawah to, and he told him, you must start this work somewhere else. That person then maybe he told him, you know what, there's one girl here, she's Mrs. Universe. Says, I can't get her, you can take her. Now, you will all dream of Mrs. Universe. What brought Mrs. Universe in that man's life? It was the dropping of the gaze. The dropping. But it's not always dropping of the gaze will make a girl fall in love with you. Sometimes she will become irritated. If you have to worry about the world talks, and what the world says, then you will go nuts. So this atheist on the plane was irritating that boy, because so much of knowledge in the world, but no one knows how to use that knowledge. Everyone got a gun, but he doesn't know how to shoot. And there are two guns. One is the gun in the hand, there's another gun under your brief. That gun also, everyone got it. No one knows how to shoot. And that's where the problem is. If I got time, I'll explain that. What is this? How do you use your gun? Everyone got. You don't know how. So that atheist carried on, stupid, irritating that young boy to tell him, you know what, let's speak about the universe. Let's speak about this. Who created that? I mean, boy, talk. Do you really believe when you die, you'll be bones, you're going to come up again? If you're going to bother of the world, you'll never go anywhere. So the boy was reading his book, he became irritated. So he looked at this atheist and he tell him, forget your long stories about who created the universe. Is there life after death? Is there a creator? Was there a big bang? Was Darwin's theory right? Are we created from monkeys? These are high stuff. He said, I want to ask you something. That, you know me, I live on a farm. So on the farm, I see sometimes that the number two, the droppings. The dropping of the one animal, it comes out like pellets. Like round. Tick, 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 tick. And then I see the other one, it comes out like paste. Little bit. And the other one comes out like round balls. But all of these animals, they're eating the same grass on my farm. So I'm always thinking about this here, that when they eat the same grass, what makes the different shapes? One is like nice and round like a bullet. One is like a face like roti. One is a ball. So as he asked the question, the atheist also looked at him and he said that, you know, I also never thought of that. So the boy looked at his face angrily and said, my friend, you don't know shit, and you're talking about the heavens and the earth. What are you asking heavy questions? Shit. These are the things everyone's supposed to know about. So what it is, there's a lot of knowledge. Nobody knows. With regards to your gun, there are two things that the world don't understand. In the past, it would be if a boy is getting married. So what I was speaking about, what you need is a friend who can just show you one thing. Example, you want to get married, or you got a desire, because when you reach the age of 15, things change. You start having dreams that your father never dreamt about. Now your father thinks you're still young, and you know you're not young anymore. And there are some boys who hear his friends talking about his dream, but he never have a dream. So he says, how do I get my dreams faster? So you will go on the internet, you want to become bigger before time. You will sit in a group of friends, someone will tell you, you know how to use Vaseline. Now you don't understand because you're young. You are in a boarding environment. Everyone starts laughing, you don't know Vaseline. So you will feel bad about it. If you don't have a friend who is genuine, and you ask the wrong company, he's going to tell you the wrong story. A young boy came to me. He was in the age of 9, he entered a HIFS class. In a HIFS class, another Mufti's son told him that, you know where you came from. So because he was 9 years old and he never had a phone to check up on Google, who does he ask? So all his friends started laughing. That you don't know where you pitched up from. And he was brought from the hospital when bird dropped you. When we were small, my mother used to tell us, one stork came and you were sitting in the packet. And for years we believed it because no mother will tell you. But the time comes where your friends will laugh now. Now when they're going to laugh, who are you going to ask? You're going to ask your friend. But when you ask your friend, that friend, he's also blind. So he will tell you his story. He won't tell you the true story. Your father might know really how you came, but he's not going to tell you and you're not going to ask. Now the time comes you want to get married. Now who are you going to ask? Because example, you want to drive a car. Someone will tell you, go buy one book from the library. You buy the book, you know it's not the same. You need someone who drove. But who are you going to ask? Are you going to go to your friend and tell him, you know, I'm getting married tonight, tell me what's going to happen first night? You won't, you'll go on Google. But Google will show you things which doesn't have to be true. There will be so many lies in it. Young boys, after the age of 12, 13, I found them, they were hooked in porn. I got amazed, how could you be hooked in porn? And you in the house of such a great alim. As where do you get access to porn? He said, my father was a big alim. On his computer I do it. And he doesn't, he's not in the house, he's giving his bayan. I'm lift on the computer. What made him get hooked? Because his father was a great alim, but the boy knew he's not my friend. I haven't got a friend. So now I've got desire, or my friends are laughing at me because I don't know what happens. So I checked up. And when I checked up, I got hooked. Now for 7 years, 8 years, the boy will live in a dream of porn. On the porn scene, I don't know what they see there because we, alhamdulillah, have never looked. But our mind can also work out. And when you hear boys talking, on a porn scene, you will see two insan who are monkeys. They are doing such monkey tricks that boy loves in a dream that when I get married, I will re-love this. Now when the time comes to get married, he's not going to go ask any alim, any sheikh, that what's going to happen tonight. He thinks I know because there was so much knowledge, but he never knew how to shoot. So he will have that in his mind. That girl he married, she maybe never saw that porn. So she came with haya, she came with modesty. She's a little bit shaky. She never eat for the last 2 days. She's worried. I'm meeting a man. He is on another mission he got. He saw so many things. I have to do this, I have to do that, a night that will never come to an end. Because he lived for 7 years in a dream. So first night, he shocks his wife so much that she will write a letter after that, that, Maulana, I don't know what to do, but my husband's an animal. And he's asking me to do certain things which I can't do. And he became upset. That marriage started in Jahannam. Why? Because porn, shaitan and dajjal laughed that we pulled you into a trap. Now you're living for the dream. Now that boy, one boy got married. So it just happened, I was driving past the chemist. And the next day after marriage, if you see a boy by a chemist, you must know this boy is in a trap. I say, what you are the chemist for? So he, whatever story means, last night what he expected to happen never happened. Why? Because he was in the world of porn. So I told him, my friend, I don't know where you learned how to get married. But it seems you learned it from two monkeys. They jumped so much in front of you naked that you really thought I can also jump. You'll break your back. So I told him, what pulled you to the chemist is you saw one sign there, be the bedroom hero. So you want to be a hero here? There's no Rambo here. You married, it's halal, ibadat, you want to be Rambo. You're not going to save anyone in your bedroom. But what happened? Hollywood pulled you in a trap. Who will ever tell you that you are looking at it in the wrong way? That you are also being pulled. A boy got a desire. Some boys got a desire for girls that we all understand. And everyone knows that, hey, how many girls you got, how many girls. There are some boys who got a desire for boys. Now, that boy who likes a girl, he can still tell, mommy, you can phone Auntie Fatima and ask, is Aisha like available? But see, how you'll go to mommy and say, can you ask, is Muhammad available? Exactly. But now at night, you're sitting now. And you're on the bed, but you desire Muhammad. You saw him in class, you're doing hivs, he's doing hivs, he looks smart. And you can't understand, how can I like Muhammad? You heard in the bayan, the Maulana was joking, that it was Adam and Eve, now it became Adam and Steve, everyone laughed. But you got the problem, that you also desire Muhammad. Who will you ever ask? You know? And you're going to ask your father that, you know, I'm in love with Muhammad. But if you got a friend, and you will tell the friend, you know, I'm so shy, but I'm sending you an email. It's anonymous. So you don't know me and I don't know you. But can you please give me some reason why do I love Muhammad? Then that friend will tell you that there's nothing to worry about. Because there are people in the world who shaitan shoots arrows. For majority, shaitan shoots an arrow on girls because you're in the environment of girls. But if there's no girls around you, who's shaitan going to shoot an arrow on? So there was a great sheikh, in his dream he saw he was walking on the road. Shaitan was walking on the other side. So he spoke to the shaitan, the iblis, Satan. And he said, your job is to attack man, not to run away from man. So Satan, shaitan would tell him that, I don't run away from man, but I don't waste my time with certain people. You got no environment of girls around you. You got no environment of money around you. You got no environment of luxury around you. So how am I going to pull you in my trap? So instead of wasting my time with you, I'll go somewhere else. So he also in the dream got happy. As he's walking, then Shaitan turned and said, I only got one arrow against people like you. So he turned in the dream and said, what's that arrow? Shaitan said, I shoot the arrow of your heart into the face of a young boy. Then I make people like you in love with young boys. Now you'll hear that the shuyukh fall in love with young boys. You wonder, how does that happen? But as I said, it's a shoot. If you are a farmer and there's no girls and there's no boys around you, Shaitan will make you fall in love with the goat also. Anyone. Now you're stealing at night, I love the goats. Who do I tell about this? You can't ask the goat's mother now, is he available? What do you do now? So you'll get one man who say, I got desire for the goat, let me fulfill my desire. But I can't go to the masjid and perform tahajjud, because I'm a man in love with the goat. And then you got a friend who will tell you, whoever Shaitan shoots your arrow on, you mustn't worry. Whatever he shoots it on, because he shoots, it got nothing to do with you. When that friend will write it, he will explain, your imtihan is, do you go to the goat or not? You don't go. And he will say, my friend, I'm warning you, don't go to the goat. Because once upon a time on one farm, one boy went to the goat. And he got stuck in the goat. And as the goat ran, he had to run behind. Chuk, chuk, chuk. Hop, 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 until they had to separate. Who will tell you that? That when you got desire, there's nothing wrong with you. You can desire anything and everything. When we were in England, one woman, she died. So she left about a couple of billion pounds to her cat. So everyone was amazed that if all the people of the world to her cat, she left millions and millions. So at that time we were giving a bayan and it just came on my tongue and everyone started laughing. And I never knew why they're laughing, because I never know auntie's story. I was saying sometimes Shaitan shoots it in the behind of the cat also. So the woman falls so much in love with the cat, when she dies she leaves millions of pounds for the cat. And next day it told me it happened in England. Why she left the money? Because that was her life. That was her life. Now when that person fell in love with the dog, fell in love with the cat, they came to one judge. So the judge was pacing up and down in his room. His wife asked, what's the problem? He said, I got a water case. That this one woman, this one man is asking that he wants to be separated. You can just give divorce also, but then there's some problems. He wants the qadi to break the nikah. And the reason is that he's accused his wife that she's having relation, or the wife was asking for a divorce. Because she said her husband is accusing her she's sleeping with the dog. Now he's walking up, down, up, down. He doesn't know which book he's going to check up now. How do you work out this masala? So his wife told him that you must look on ear of the woman. And if you see a dog, the claws, if you see some scratch here, and when you get married, please don't go look at your wife here and see if it's there. But he said, if you look here and you see a little bit dense, because the claw of the dog, then you must know that she's really sleeping with the dog. So he went and he thought about it. The next day he said, I have a checkup done on this woman. They checked up, they found clock, 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 all the dents. So he said that, you know what, your husband is speaking the truth, it seems. He came home, he was very happy. Just before telling his wife, Jazakallah, and then he started thinking, how does she know this? And so that night when he checked her, he said, she's also involved with the dog. Now why she say became involved? Because desire. But which friend will tell you, you can fall in love with anything? Because love is a thing of Shaitan. Doubt. One boy came to me, he's graduating. I asked him, where you want to go? He said, I want to go to Korea, South Korea. I said, what a good intention you got. You want to spread deen there? He said, I want to spread deen. I said, Mubarak, I mean, dua, everything. After a while he's talking to me. So I said, well, how you learn South Korea, South Korea? So he said, no, actually there's one singer from South Korea. And it's my desire, I want to make a Muslim. I'm wondering now. So I said, where you met her? On the internet. I'm in love with her voice. So I want to go to South Korea and I'm going to give her dawah. She's got a dream now. And she'll accept Islam. And whether I'll make a Muslim. And then I said, you think you're going to go to this auntie who's sleeping with the whole world, and you're going to give her your one top bayan, and if she comes Muslim, and say, I'm in love with you. But his dream is, he said, yeah, my mother doesn't understand. She wants me to marry one Bengali girl. I want this girl, yeah. And because of that, he's fighting with his mother, fighting with his brother. They're telling him, are you nuts? So I told him that, see, let me explain one thing to you. That no matter how smart her voice is, and no matter how smart her flesh is, and no matter how smart her figure is, because that's what you saw. But you never saw law things which will help you when you marry. And that's what the person doesn't understand. When you're going to get married, what are you going to look for? So the boy say, I look for long, I look for thin, I look for curve. Because what else? Google only taught you that. My one friend, he got caught in the madrasa, so they were going to expel him. So I told him, how did you get caught up with this girl? So he said, I was at this resort and she was there by the pool. So I said, but she's in niqab, this girl. But we knew that. The girl is in parda. So how could you like take a chance? What if it was an old auntie? Because you don't know who's behind the niqab. And you go up to her and say, give me your phone number. She would have smacked you. So he told him, Maulana, you don't know the tricks of the game. I looked at her toes. In the toe, I picked up the whole body, that the age is so and so. I said, you are nuts, you. I tell you, you spoiled your life for someone's toes. I said, marriage is on character. How do you know the toe won't show you the character of the girl? They'll show you skin color. What a character. You're going to get married to her. So I told this boy, you're so thrilled with that girl's figure. And your mother is telling you, marry a pure Muslimah. And you can't understand. So I said, let me explain to you one thing. That the difference between a Muslim girl and a non-Muslim girl, even if she accepts Islam later on, is that the one girl grew up in purity. What it means is, in the Western world, an effort was made that man must stay dirty. If you are dirty, angels have to pull away, shayateen can come close. Shayateen are called jinn. The world of drugs is to bring jinn towards man. Drug is not just a tablet that makes you fly in the air. Drug is a mechanical, magical, created in the lab with a lot of satanic words. Its purpose was so filthy that when the drug is taken, it puts napaki throughout your body, in your mind, in your heart and around you. It makes you so filthy that the world of the jinn opens up immediately. And angels have to pull out immediately. That is why the boy who pops the drug, he flies. He flies in a new dimension because it's the world of the jinn. The jinn smile at you at the beginning because they're happy you entered. Years and years they were waiting men to come in. Every movie that was created about the aliens, to create about showing you the world of the alien coming from outer space, was to invite man to the world of the jinn. That they're not your enemy, they are your friend. Which Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي. That, oh man, are you making the jinn your friends? Remember, they hate you. They are jealous of you. But they will smile. They will pull you. They will invite you. When you are in the rave, dancing, sometimes you will see someone with blue eyes. And you will wonder, who is this blue eye character? That blue eye is a man who's a jinn. With a lovely smile on his face, but his desire is to break you, that's all. They don't like us. That drug, when you pop it the first few times, you thrill. But after that, everyone knows when you see that poor person. You see him looking at the sky and going, hey, hey, hey. Because he's lost. He doesn't know what's happening. Then you see him running and someone say, what's happening? He says, train is chasing me. And you might laugh, but we saw it. And as he gets bigger, his wife can't live with him. Now he's sitting outside the shop. He says, give me 50 cents. Someone will say, he was so intelligent once upon a time. And you look at him, you also don't want to meet him. You don't want to smile at him because you know he's going to ask you for 50 cents. You just go this way. And you look how shaitan smiled behind that person. But what a smile, a smile of evil. And I got you. And everyone he wants. So to put you in a dirty environment. So the world was created that break istinja. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and thought, when you go to toilet, you stand. Because when you go to toilet, that dirt number two that comes out, that's one story. But in the number two, there's a certain germ, or couple of germs. That germ is more deadly than the brown that you see. That is why after the brown goes plop away also, you have to clean yourself because the germ can stay. That germ is killed either by sand, and sand is a better killer than even water. Because something that dies in the earth, you will see sand will remove all the dirt from it. Sand is a unique killer of germs. That is why the dog's saliva also, if it touches, sometimes water can't kill the germ on the saliva. Sand can kill it. So in the past, they would take sand and they would clean. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed, if you haven't got sand, you can't use sand, you use water. Toilet paper was never an alternative. Toilet paper you can use just to make it less dirty, but you have to use water. Because toilet paper doesn't remove the germ. Toilet paper does what? What you're supposed to do, you're supposed to wash your behind. In the Western world, they teach you polish your behind. That is what it is, isn't it? Now that pretty young girl who got a lovely figure, but she also goes toilet. And we all know in her toilet, zafaran, saffron doesn't come out. What yours come out, hers come out. She also puts sprays after that. But now, the difference between you is you washed with water. And she polished. Because she got no iman. So she polished. 1 year she polished, 2 years she polished. If ever you got your car and you carry on polishing something, a time comes when skin draws within. So that germ, that little bit brown, 1-2 specks, everything is always polished back. Always polished. And then the Western world thought the system have a bubble bath. You put a little foam here, you put Donald Duck there, you mix, you got balloons. So you also saw it on TV, I want bubble bath. She pretty also had bubble bath. But when she had bubble bath, she forgot there's some brown stuck at the bottom. So as she lied down, so the brown would also start coming out and it also became part of the bubble bath. It moved. As she was relaxing, little bit went in her ears, little bit might go in the mouth. Everywhere it goes. It went in her hair. It's all over now. Now she carried on couple of years. She grew up in an environment of dirt, environment of filth. The only thing you saw, you just saw the white skin that was here. But you never saw the other things. Now your whole day, your whole night, you say, Mommy, I want white flesh. White flesh is better than the Indian girl, is a little bit darker. I want it more lighter. Well, you got your own thoughts. But you don't understand when I get married, it's character. So what happened first night, she had so much perfume that you never smelt her. So you said, rose, you're like a rose. But a time will come at night when the perfume goes out also. And you'll wake up at night and say, oh, my lovely wife. And you go closer. So what's that now? The old years of brown came out now. Now she got her new perfume. That perfume comes. You might say it's a lie. I went to England. My friend bought a house. So he told me one white woman used to own this house. But for 6 months, because she used to make pig in the pot. They used to cook pig. And you will see the white people, their skin here also becomes pinkish after a while. The older they get a certain pinkish color which you don't have. That pinkish color is because of pig. Pig is a filthy meat. It eats dirt, and it produces that dirt in itself. He says they cook that pig in the pot. That smell of the pig became part of the walls. He says, for 6 months, my wife never allowed us to come live here. I had it fumigated over a period of 6 months. You fumigate it one time and you leave it for 2 weeks. Then again you come in, you go in a room. Especially in the kitchen, when you open the cupboards, there is a smell in that thing. Now which friend will tell you, what's the difference between one who grew up in purity and one who grew up in dirt? Will Google tell you? Google will never show you brown specks. Google won't tell you what happens with Donald Duck bubble bath. Google will never tell you how to make istinja. Who will be your friend who's going to tell you? You grew up in a world of Rambo, Superman, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse. That was one voice of Shaitan. Allah Tabarakala in Quran says, I gave Shaitan a couple of powers. One was the power of propaganda. The power of propaganda is so unique. But to make it burst, there was a time when there was a Shaitani burst before we were born. It was started with what was called the Spanish exploration of the world from Spain, which you would have learned about Vasco da Gama, and all people started going around looking for America and looking for other countries. And from Spain they went in the world, from Portugal. At that time, Shaitani forces went searching for a certain land. That land which is what we call today America, North America. But they never reached North America, they reached South America. When they reached South America, the ships went back. And the effort was made, whichever Jews are in Spain, now send them over. As Hitler sent them over to Palestine with his old tricks. Persecute couple of Jews, kill couple of Jews, the rest will go running. In Spain, the same thing happened. Those people found their land, South America. But it wasn't South America they wanted, it was North America. They went looking for the land. What was that land going to do for them? They had it in their books. They had it in their magical scriptures. There's a certain land which will produce certain magic that nowhere else in the world you can create that magic. They had it written. It was written such that today in the Bible, okay, before we come to that, so all the Jews now, the Spanish queen, she started persecuting them. They started going by ship. When they came to South America, on South America, there were no European Americans living what we think today, smart, pretty girls. They were what they call today, red Indians. And what you will think of red Indian, what you saw in the comic book, that the man with the feather on top, they go, wah, 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 wah. But no one knows who these red Indians were. But these red Indians were a threat to the European invader. Such a threat that from South America he wiped out town after town, town after town. They would rape, they would kill, they would destroy, they would remove it in such a manner that if today you say, I want to see the red Indian, that whole nation is destroyed. In South Africa, they never did that. They just took over. They never killed every black man. In that country, they from the whole South America moving, going towards north, whichever man lived on that land was taken out. Now they reached North America. In North America, they put up the empire. They found the place where magic can be created. The one land they needed was the land called Hollywood. Because in that land, they knew they could create such a power, which Britain could never create in its time. France could never create, Germany could never create, the Soviet Union could never create. These were shaitani powers. When they found the land Hollywood, they even named it Hollywood. That's what Hollywood is. Hollywood means the wand. You did whatever you did, the fairy, godmother, Cinderella. And then she said, I want to become princess. Fairy godmother will take a wand. That wand is called a Hollywood, meaning a magical wood. As that wand will go like this, here stars will go flying. Stars. And those stars, whoever it falls on, they're under a magical spell. Hollywood was to pull you in a spell. Which friend will ever take you out of that spell? Now you grow up looking at Rambo. You grow up looking at Superman. When you were small, why you told your daddy, Daddy, buy me Superman pajamas? When you're going to sleep, whether you're Superman or you're Ahmed, you're still sleeping. But you'll see Ahmed, when he put on Superman pajamas, in the bed also he's going like this here. But he's not flying. He might break his leg that night jumping from your park. Land up in hospital. Say, what happened? Say, hey, I fell. I slipped. Acting stupid. You'll see one boy riding bicycle. If it's Ahmed riding bicycle, no problem. But Ahmed, remember you Ahmed. You're not John. Now when you're riding bicycle, if you're doing a stunt also, do it in the name of Ahmed. Don't do it in the name of John. Don't be thrilled. Or to understand it better, you're playing cricket with your friends. Now when the ball comes, you hit. The ball when running, everyone knows cricket is a chance. When you knock the ball, it wasn't you a master batsman, your bat came in the right place. You got out, it's a chance. You hear these cricket captains when they talk, when we follow cricket in our time. One story after every match, Alhamdulillah, Allah pulled us out of it now. But one story, you win the match, you say we followed, everything went to plan. The players played the game. You lose the match, you say we don't know, we're going back to the drawing board. Not one captain can say, you know what, this game is a game of chance. Sometimes it just hits the wicket, sometimes you don't hit the wicket. When Allah wants you to win, you just manage to win it. When Allah doesn't want you to win it, you lose it by one, two runs also. No one will say it. They say, oh, we did this, we did that, big shot. Now you put the bat in the right place, suddenly it went. Now at night you'll see that boy in the room also. You'll go like, why? But now, but what do you say? You think I'm the new South African captain. Now whoever you will say, if you say Hashim Amla, at least he's keeping a Muslim name. Or you might take some other, I don't know who the stupid players are now. Now when he's batting and if someone calls him a kafir name, normally you would have become irritated. That I have been created as a Muslim and you are mentioning me as a kafir. But because that name is thrilling, you even go like this here and say, I'm more better. If you play cricket, you play as Ahmed. Don't play as a kafir. Because that kafir when he stands on the day of Qiyamah and he calls, I'm sure the last captain of South Africa must be De Villiers or something. So imagine a De Villiers boy is called. They come to Jahannam. And then he said, and all the lovers of De Villiers, you all also walk to Jahannam. That boy who dreamed of being a De Villiers, will you stand up on that day? Because you're not going to play cricket with him in Jahannam. You are Ahmed, play cricket, no problem. Play it as Ahmed. But what Hollywood brought you on, it brought you on if you are Superman, Batman. If you are a boy who does not perform tahajjud. And if you are a boy who does not recite Quran. But you are an American youngster who knows English. You are big shot. You know how to speak. You got pumping muscles. You got a unique bounce when you walk. Now suddenly you there. Now when your sister is making you angry, you actually go like this here. If I take out my top, I'll become Superman maybe. But you take out your top, you don't see nothing but a little bit hair. I think I thought you were going to see that. You haven't got that muscle, but you're in a dream. Dream of Rambo. Dream of Superman. Dream of NATO, American forces. Why are you pulled in by a voice called propaganda? Now when you heard of an American soldier, how to shoot, you will think I'm the soldier. You see, the American soldier, he shoots on target. He'll never miss. When I was small, we were in love with Rambo. And we imagined real, that you get one man, and they tell him, you know what, there's problems in the Arab lands. So we need you to go there and save Mrs. So and so. In the ending, Rambo will kiss her and say, thank you, but next movie again, you kiss another woman, you wonder what happened to the first woman. She also gone. Every day, new woman. The movie. But we will be thrilled now. Rambo is flying. They'll bring him by helicopter. Rambo is landing in Afghanistan. They're throwing him down. Rambo got no top also. He got one red bandana. This was our time. Whether you all know Rambo or he's dead also, who knows. Rambo will now come, chum, chum, chum. He lands in the land. Now one Rambo, one gun, one knife. He got no top also. And he's running. As they're shooting him, the bullet go this way, the bullet go that way. We all say, bring one Rambo to South Africa, just on the streets. The taxi driver will shoot him one shot. He can't come. But in the movies, the bomb goes here, bomb goes there. Rambo moves here, comes here, he saves a girl. He kills so many people. And then he gets that helicopter coming and he grabs, he's holding the woman with one hand and flying. Now, Afghanistan, when we were in Madrasa, it was 9-1-1. And America said, we're sending so many, what they call it, of the highest of the naval. They call them SEALs, Navy SEALs. So we knew about Navy SEALs because we were in this game also. A Navy SEAL, you shoot on target, you can hit here, here, here. And then one Navy SEAL and 100 Navy SEALs and 200 Navy SEALs. And the Navy SEALs are going in, but none of them are going in without a top. They were going in with like a space suit. So much of bulletproof, bulletproof, bulletproof. It's so hot there, but the amount of bulletproof that when that man has to go toilet, he does it in that bulletproof. Because you can't take out. Imagine he's sitting in the toilet and one Afghanistan soldier comes and says, I got you now. So at that time, then I heard one joke. So I mentioned it to certain people that, you know, the lie of Afghanistan, and Rambo came out when I saw this. I said, this man, he landed up in one jungle. And this was what Navy SEAL showed us, Rambo. The real Rambo, when he landed in Afghanistan, this is what happened to him. So this man was in the toilet, in the jungle, he needed to go toilet. You're looking here, you can't do it under the tree. There's no one, Mujahid will pull out from on top of the tree, say, now I'll shoot up your gun. Your gun is open finally. So what happened, looking, he found one toilet there. He said, this is what I need, a closed area. So he opened the toilet, but he's not thinking I'm in the jungle. So who will use the toilet in the jungle? Mr. Lion was sitting in the toilet. Because this toilet is such that you also, Mr. Lion, and you were taught to go on a low toilet. Because a low toilet is a pure toilet. And a high toilet is not pure. It's for the old auntie, daddy. The reason why it's not pure, what's a high toilet? You all know it. No one is stupid. In the high toilet, it's plop and plop. One for you, one for me. When the first hits, you all know the second hits you somewhere along the line. You might take a little water and wash here, but you know it hits you. What hits you? That filth came back on you. That low toilet was never, high toilet was never for you. It's against the whole body structure. You need to bend proper. Everything must come out. The high toilet keeps everything in. Then you got sickness, you got disease, you got stomach. So Mr. Lion, when he was introduced to the toilet in the jungle, he also went. So Mr. Lion is sitting there, So this man opened Navy SEAL, he saw Mr. Lion, he said, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Quickly he closed the door. Now Mr. Lion was not happy that you were invading my privacy. So as this man now is narrating his story to the other Navy SEAL, he came out safe. He's telling that lion started chasing me and I'm running for my life. Running. I turn around, I see Mr. Lion, he wants to jump. As Mr. Lion's going to jump, he got no iman, so his whole heart comes out. A Muslim at least at that time would read kalima and say, I'll die, never mind. But that man, what he's going to do? He say, mommy, granny, what he's going to say? Nothing else, isn't he? So he's running, I saw the lion go, whoo, and just before the lion leaped, he slipped through. I said, running, I got second chance in life. This is how it is. They got no love. When death comes in front, they die, the number two comes out. So running, he saw Mr. Lion, he's just going to leap. He doesn't know what to say. Mommy, mommy. And the lion slept and he pulled. He said, the third time again it happened and I got out of that area. The lion gave up. So his friend, Navy SEAL number 2, is listening. He said, my friend, you are a really brave man. If I was in that position, my number 1 would be coming out. So he says, what do you think, Mr. Lion was slipping on all the way? Mine was also coming out. The Lord was coming out. But what was that? That was your Mr. Rambo. Who will tell you that? You need a friend. Will tell you what you saw on television was one voice of Shaitan. Was it Dajjal? Hollywood was a created magical instrument. Drug is a created magical instrument. Everything was to pull your mind upside down. So much of knowledge, but no one to teach you how to shoot. That's what it became. You're living in their world. You understand how they understand. Now when an alim is called to the town, you thinking of one thing. The alim is talking of something else. Every bayan is not for everyone. One friend, we invited him to the madrasa. So he gave a top bayan about the raves and how things are happening in the rave, and on the first floor, what filthy things happen, and on the second floor, worse things happen, and third floor, more worse. And his intention was that everyone would say, like, Toba, Toba. So after the bayan, he asked any question. So one boy stood up, he said, how much it costs for a ticket? Because he's hearing this happening, he got excited, I also want to go. Now every bayan is not for everyone. I'll be talking of one thing, you might be thinking of something else. But when you got a friend, it becomes one-on-one now. Now you can ask him, that you know you mentioned something, I heard this in a bayan, does it apply to me? I got the thoughts. My one friend is in madrasa, he's becoming an alim, he's already finished about 4 years. 4 years in ilm. Now he comes and he says, when he starts speaking, he explains, I am angry with Allah. That was the crux of it. A boy 4 years in knowledge, but he is living irritated with his creator. Why? He said, I don't know why Allah put me in the house he put me. I find my mother and my father always fighting. So I am upset with life. Why was it like this? Which friend will now tell you why it is like this? And how you're supposed to look? Now you're living, you're going in sajda. Shaitan puts filthy thoughts in your mind. You see shaitan in sajda. Now you don't want to make sajda anymore. Which friend will you write to yet? I see shaitan in sajda. Do I carry on? I don't carry on. You are performing salah. Now you feel a trickle going down here. You think your number 1 is coming out. So you will see the boy in salah. Or you will see normally old uncles. When they're performing salah, they'll do like this. Because now, what's the purpose? Because if urine is coming out, you're only polishing again. So why do it? But he's feeling uncomfortable. Now he was supposed to read a 5 minute salah, but he made it 3 minutes. Why? Because I'm napak. Now he's gone back to the husal khana. Now he comes, he looks here, he knows it was here, but there's nothing here. Who you will write to, who will tell you, my friend, you're not the only one having the problem. We all had that problem. Because you got a certain shaitan whose name is Mr. Tickler. He tickles you, that's all. His job is to tickle, and whoever he finds is ticklish, he'll finish you up. Now when he tickles, there's one shaitan whose name could be Pooper. What he does, a sahabi radiallahu anhu came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, every time I start my salam, my wind, I feel it coming out. So for him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you ever hear the wind? He said, no. He said, you just carry on your salah. Not a normal law this is. Remember, your wind comes out, you go make wuzu. But sometimes it's not wind coming out, it's Mr. Pooper jinn coming. Imagine he's so filthy, he goes in there and he comes out. Go in, he comes out. You will feel wind coming, but no wind. You might feel urine here. So I tell my friend, you take a toilet paper, you put it here. You put underwear on. Now you perform your salah. So he said, I did it. I said, after the salah, did you see any wetness on the toilet paper? He said, no, but I could feel it on my legs. I said, you got unique urine. Your urine goes through toilet paper. Your brains. So he said, but it troubles so much. So I told him, it troubles me also. It troubles all of us. But how did we break it? We started acting as though we were not feeling it. You want to irritate someone who's tickling you. Even if you're feeling the tickle, you just act like I'm not feeling the tickle. Because you can go to a certain extent where he'll give up. So you just have to hold. Shaitan, you have to show him, I'm not irritated. I'm not impressed. I'm not awed. I'm not amazed. If you're in the house, you're alone, and you see the fan moving, but you look at the switch and the switch is on off, and you see it moving. Now you must know one, Mr. Jinn is moving it. So must you say, wah, and run for your life. You mustn't do that. Because in Surah Jinn, Allah Tabarakala explains that when a man was walking through the jungle, the jinnat are scared of man and they hate man. But they look for a weak individual to grab. You have to be strong to push it away. And if you can't push it away and they enter into you, you got a world of a war after that. So Allah Ta'ala says, the man going through the jungle, the shaitan would sit on the tree and move it a little bit, rustle, rustle, rustle. So that man will hear tree shaking. When you hear tree shaking, can either be a monkey in the tree, so you must have your gas gun. A monkey come, you shoot him in his gang. Or it could be a jinn. If it's a jinn, the jinn can't do anything except rustle, rustle, rustle. But the people now would get scared, so would say, oh master of the jungle, please, I ask for your protection. So the jinn then would sit like, you saw, telling all the other jinn, he's asking. And it became a game then, the jinn started becoming bold. So Almighty Allah said, you all made the jinnat bold. When you see that thing moving, you mustn't run for your life. When you hear someone knocking at your window upstairs and you're on the second floor, third floor, and you know it's not man who's washing windows, you don't run for your life. You go to the window and you say, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Get lost. And it will get lost. But when you scream and you run, one friend I met, his story still amazes me. He, a young boy, one jinn from Punjab, and he's in England walking past the temple. Jinn from Punjab, maybe she came to visit a sister in England. She fell in love with him. She fell in love, she entered him at a young age, of the age of 11 or 12, so he became baligh before time. Because she's a girl. And you might all think, hey, to have a girl in love with you is a jinnia, is like a top thing. Because she can take any shape, she can be any model. How you want her to come, she comes. But what is not yours, is not yours. So she started touching him at night. And he was a young boy. He started feeling things, he started feeling someone touching him here. He became baligh very quickly, so he had funny dreams. He never knew what's happening. He carried on, carried on. He said, I stopped going in Jamaat. Because every time I'm going in Jamaat, that night I'm sleeping, I'm going for shower. So the Amir Sahib after that told me, you know, you got a lot of bullets. Every time you say shower. He said, I stopped going in Jamaat. But Amir Sahib never understood. He never understood. He got married. When he got married, then the Punjabi jinniya showed a jealousy, you know. Now the jealousy would come in him. That whenever he was going to his wife, he would get sudden pain. His sperm would come out before time. He could not go to his wife. She would get headaches. She would get stomach cramps. Now they realized something is wrong. They went to the army. They said, they were jinniya. And for years and years, she said, she don't want to go. And if I kill her also, there's a whole group behind her who she invited. There's a whole clan, one after the other, one after the other. So I asked him, how long are you living in this? He says, after marriage, it's already so many years. It's my one child. But after the one child, I can't get another child. So we spoke everything, I gave him himmat. He said one day when I was driving the truck, that was like the worst because it was the first time she came in front. I knew there was something troubling. Driving my truck, driving, I look on the side and I see the most prettiful face. And I already understood it because it was now in me. He said, I just look back and I'm driving. But now your eye is telling you someone is sitting there. And she's not looking at him, she's also looking like straight. And he said, what a drive that was for that half an hour. Whatever du'as you know is, you're not going to say, what a pretty girl, let me look. Because you know she's not yours. Then he went to the amil, he said, the amil must say something. Because then I asked, you got children from her. He said, she brought my children also. All handsome, handsome, young, young, pretty, pretty, beautiful, whatever. All her children came. I said, how your normal wife, meaning your normal wife, your insani wife. He said, she's a alima. So to break the news for her was like tiyama, but then she accepted. You tell your Gujarati wife, you know, I got another woman in my life, she'll kill you. But what this woman is going to do? One man, he's sitting, his wife told him, going to mommy's house. Because when you get married, your wife has to go for a while. So she went away to mother's house. One woman asked this question one day, in one bayan we were giving about Jannah. So she wrote this question, she said that, you know, no matter how much you'll speak about Jannah, but I can't understand this, and that's why you need a friend. There are certain thoughts and doubts that will trouble you. So she wrote this unique question. She said, you spoke a lot about the woman of Jannah, the hurs of Jannah. She said, I'm such a woman that I can never see my husband marrying any other person. So how will I ever enjoy Jannah? Because I know whenever my husband gets the chance, he's gone with another huri. One huriya, one hur. Hurs are so unique. So in the bayan, I said that, you know, Allah Ta'ala will create the woman of this world so unique, that in front of them, the woman of Jannah will look like the stars in front of the sun. That the stars are always there, but when the sun is out, No one sees the stars. So when your husband's eyes will fall on you, all the others will be like servants in the house for who there will be no thrill. It will just be pretty faces, but this is like pretty to invite to the prettiest. And then as I mentioned that the auntie must have got very happy. I said there's only one problem. That when the sun sets, then the stars do come out. So when you in Jannah will say, I'm going to visit my mother, then you must know your husband is going to the stars. You want to leave your husband, you got a problem. So this auntie, she went to her mommy's house. So bichari husband now, what he's going to do? You can make breakfast, but you can't make every day. So there was a coffee shop there, he ended up at the coffee shops. Sitting at the coffee shop, drinking his coffee, he saw another man on the other side also drinking coffee. And the two eyes meet, like how you got a drug addict. A drug addict, he can pick up another one with the eye. You just see, you see, this guy is also part of it. It's a click. Then he tell you after that, you know, we'll meet somewhere, and he put him back on the game. So this man, coffee to coffee. So this guy got a little bit upset, a little bit edgy. So that man, second day he saw him again having coffee, so he walked up to him. So he thought maybe a collector, maybe a man wants money. He said, no, don't worry, house things, house life, what you doing here? He said, no, my wife is going to the mother. So the man said, So he said that I've gone to the mother, so to make breakfast, not so easy, I'd rather come here, pay a little bit. He said, you got no other wife to go to? He says, no, in our culture, we Gujarati, we only have one wife. He said, I'm also Gujarati. I don't know how you survive with one wife. You mean every time she goes to her mother, you're going to land up having coffee? He says, me, I got two. He says, so how is it? He says, it's like Jannah. He said, I never knew that. He says, obviously, because both compete for me. So when I'm one, the other one is already making cake, she's making dessert, she's dressing herself like a doll, because she wants to beat that one. So I have a top breakfast. If I have to come here, this one will make sure my lunch is better. I'm living in a world of competition. Both want me, dying for me. Only this one sending messages, where are you, what are you doing? That one sending message. This WhatsApp that you have before going to that man with the coffee, this WhatsApp, you might be thrilled with it, but it's another shaitan pulling you in. If you can, while you are young, in technology, be the last to jump in. Because it has pulled the minds of man into zombies. You will see a man sleeping at night. You're supposed to sleep at night. Your TT every 5 minutes make you wake up, check up your message. Your world hasn't been created for that. If your friend is sitting in the toilet thinking of you, and he's sending you a message, you mustn't be so cheap. When he looked at his number 2, he thought of you. That's why he sent you his WhatsApp. He got nothing to do in the toilet. You sleeping. What, you must read messages all the time for titit. A time will come, one man was sitting, his wife sent him WhatsApp. Because WhatsApp is free. So, papa, carry on, beep. So his wife sent him message, honey, what you doing? If you're eating, having a cake, send me a slice. If you're having a sip of water, having some juice, send me a sip. If you're enjoying a scene, then send me a snap. If you're doing this, send me this. If you're doing that, send me that. So he sent the message back. At the moment, sitting in the toilet, please advise. What do I send? Number one, number two. What will I send you? Put it in an envelope. He's living in a world of titit. So that man, I said, is this one competing, that one competing, everyone competing. I'm in Jannah. So this man was like, hey, this is the dream. So he told the man, if only I had another wife. So he said, I can organize for you. He said, who will marry me? He said, I organize the thing. There's a lot of girls there already, even if you're the second, whatever it is. He said, you promise? He said, couple of days, are you ready? He said, I'm ready, but my wife is coming on this day. He said, no, before that day, we have to have the honeymoon. So they got married. He went and he got her. Now he's thinking of, this is only honeymoon. Honeymoon, everyone knows, is like a thrill. But after honeymoon, it's normal life starts. But he knew my Jannah is starting, because now I got two. Compete here, eggs here, I'll have there, I'll have chicken tikka there. What and what? Things are going to happen. So his friend told him the first few days will be a little rocky, because now that one is going to find out, she's going to get upset. Give it 1-2 days to calm down. But during that time you stay by this one, you got no problem. So he goes to the first wife to break the news. And the other thing is going to be so bad. Gujarati girl is the last girl you ever think of joining another girl to. So that girl said, what? He said, get out of my house. He said, but it's my house. He said, I'll call my father. Get out. Then everything gone. Her father came, grannies came, everyone came. They're telling, are you mad? You kafir? You whatever? Get out. So he knew it's going to be rocky, but not so much rocks. But at least he got number two. As he landed by number two, he came with a scar on his face because she slapped him on. He said, what happened here? He said, the first. He said, which first? He says, don't you know? She gave him one smack. He said, you liar. You never told me about it. He said, my friend said he told everything. He said, get out of the house. I don't want to see you. She said, daddy, this man is a liar. Now he's shocked up. Where's the Jannah? So he's walking, he's thinking, I did something wrong here. So he lands up by the coffee shop there, that friend is there. He walks up to him, the guy sees a smack, knock. He said, what happened to you? He said, I don't know where I went wrong. I can't understand how you got it right. Because this one I got Jahannam, and there I got Jahannam. I'm not having breakfast, I got no lunch, I'm kicked out of the house. How you got it right? So his friend said, you idiot. You think if I had Jannah, I'll be having coffee here every day also. He said, I was looking for company. I'm also in the same spot. I'm kicked out, you kicked out. Welcome to the club. Runs is like this. They make it so smart. They pull you in a game. You really think, it's going to happen. It don't happen. And they say, you idiot, we're going to Jahannam. You must come with us. Shaitan will also call. At that time you'll cry. Allah Ta'ala said, didn't I tell you, don't fall. Now who will tell you all of this? A friend. That friend is called your guide. Someone you can relate to. Someone you can joke with. Someone you can come up and say, I'm Maulvi man. Tell me the truth, what's happening? Someone who can talk on your language. Someone who can tell you, you know what, we'll meet after Isha, we'll talk quietly. But someone you can trust. That is called a sheikh. In the past it was called this khanka, this zikr is a thing of zikr, make Allah, Allah, and you raise the sky. Nothing like that. It's that you got questions. Shaitan puts doubts. You need someone to answer. Allah Ta'ala created a friend. A rajul ala deeni khalili. A man is on the deen of his friend. Search for a friend who will take you to Allah in a manner that you're happy to go. In a manner that the game becomes easy. In a manner that when you sit in front of him, you realize that I was in a lie. You see the reality of Jannah. You understand I'm supposed to love Allah, not hate Allah. You understand how to fight Shaitan. You understand how to see Dajjal. You understand what the Statue of Liberty really means. You understand Hollywood and Bollywood, how it is. But someone who you can trust. ISIS will blow to power. A young boy will say, I want to know, must I join ISIS or not? You ask him, why you want to join ISIS? He said, I heard there's a lot of girls there. You go there, you get slave girls, you get Syrian girls, you get Sudani girls, you get England girls, you get American girls, you get South African girls, Lord girls. And I can keep them as slave girls. I got a dream now. You go there, you got you a slave yourself. But what it is, you are being pulled. Who will pull you? Propaganda. Which friend will tell you, don't fall for every propaganda. No matter how smart the West will make it, or how evil they will make it, they got their own agendas. Every trap you fall for is because there's so much knowledge. But no one is teaching how to shoot. This is what this Islah is. This is what this Jalsa is. It's to introduce you that in the country, there are people who talk your talk. And there are people on your age or slightly older than you. Meet them, find them, relate with them, get their numbers, talk to them, hear what they had to say, read their books, find a friend. It can be in your own town, it can be in a town around, someone you trust. If you are a young boy, find someone who's young who can talk your talk. If you are a young girl, then you got a slight problem. That a young girl, she must normally find someone she can trust. But it mustn't be any young boy. Because any young girl makes her sheikh any young boy. Then the two of them, instead of creating spirituality, they'll create many young sheikhs also. You know what? So many shuyukh coming out in the hospitals. So you have to trust someone. Someone who doesn't just fall for your small stories. But find someone. If you find an older person, he will make you mature before your time. Find someone on your age, he will show you the road. If you don't know how to reach Allah, don't ever think Google is going to teach you. And your school is not going to teach you. And your mind is not going to work it out. You need a friend to show you the way. There's no Lord Zikr in this game. There's no Lord Tahajjud in this game. There's no Lord that you can't talk like this, you can't talk like that. There is no Lord of anything. There is no you must wear this topi, and you must wear this kurta, and you must have that sandals. There is nothing like that. The real thing is that you must know who you are. And you must have a friend to show you the way. Allah Ta'ala grant us all understanding, inshaAllah.